Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is July 29.
Yes, it's Music Sermon's third anniversary. Yay!
Oh, shit. What are you doing? Wow. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm going to do some content and some stuff next week because, partly due to Music Sermon, I had too many deadlines this week to do anything for this week.
Yeah, you have been everywhere. You are super busy.
Everywhere, and next week, I feel comfortable saying it at this point. It's taken so long, but next week, I have my first cover story coming out with Billboard, which will be big, but that's been, like, taking up a lot of my life for the past
You can't
month.
Tell us what it's about, though, right?
I mean, I probably could. I don't know.
I mean, I don't want you getting in trouble.
I don't know. I don't know if I can or if I can't.
Then don't say it.
Err on the side of caution.
Yeah, don't say it.
Err on the side of caution. But I have my.
They've been putting a stop check on your shit. You'd be like, damn.
But yeah, I have my first cover story coming out next week, and I'm also next week starting a limited. I'm going to be hosting a limited series of programming that SoundCloud does on Twitch. They have this thing called Cloud Bar, and they're starting a series that is supposed to be kind of like educational for their users. Cause you know, a lot of them who put up their own music and are trying to go, but they want to actually kind of teach them about the music business. So it's not so much my show, but I'm hosting, like somebody else is producing and lining up the content and doing all of that. They wanted an actual industry person to moderate the conversation. So those are going to be bi-weekly on Thursdays. I'll let y'all know once I have more time. So, I mean, it's a blessing that I've been busy, but it also, and it's weird to be this busy during a time like this, but it all really started with me just doing threads on the fucking internet.
On the Twitters.
With videos, and it just led, and this, because you guys gave me all my, Pop Life has given me all my on-air experience. So
yeah.
It's like that combination of those two things.
I'm glad that SoundCloud is, because I know at one point they were teetering. So I'm glad that they've turned the corner and seem to be kind of in a stable spot. But they kind of remind me of, in a way, they remind me of Napster in that they were first.
Yeah.
And they had everybody was any especially the new artists that are kind of coming that have come out in the last 3 to 4 years. They all started on SoundCloud.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole subgenre of hip hop.
It's the SoundCloud rappers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they had it, but they didn't really know how to quite monetize it the same way Napster didn't quite know what they had.
Well, because once people actually started infringing copyright rules, some shit changed.
Yeah.
You know? So that's been
again, because they were like young guys. Same with LimeWire. They're like young guys who are just like doing it for the love of the music and not realizing that they have like the lottery ticket in their hand, you know, but I don't go to SoundCloud as much as I used to, but there was a time back in like, I guess, 12 or 13. That's all I would listen to was Cloud.
I know, because you used to put the damn people you were listening to on the Pop Life SoundCloud feed. Like that was.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, the fuck is this shit? So piece
of SoundCloud.
Right. So Music Sermon is 3 by accident. I weirdly found a lane that I didn't even know was available to me. And every one of y'all who listen, who have also like supported Music Sermon anyway, I thank you. But yeah, I'm going to do some stuff next week. I'm going to do probably like some trivia on Zoom. I'm relaunching my merch store. I'm relaunching my site. So there'll be like all that good shit.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so Inka's here. Shout out.
I just want to acknowledge that we had to really bring on a whole summer TV correspondent for your ass. For you, Jeffrey, for you.
Wait. Oh, yeah, because y'all don't niggas don't watch shit.
You watch the wrong shit.
Like, I watch the wrong shit.
Do y'all know how many shows I watch that y'all niggas don't watch that I don't bring?
The only ones that I know that you watch that we don't watch is all the 90 Day
stuff. Me and Sean are Billions people. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm on Billions. I'm in season two. I'm binging. Yeah, okay, it's incredible.
So once Billions comes back from mid-season, hopefully they actually filmed the rest of the season. I don't know if they did. But like, me and Sean are Billions people. Yo ass ain't. What else? Well, there's nothing else that's original that's on right now.
The thing is when Jeff locks into a show,
he's in.
That's it.
Stories. It's
AEN. Yeah, it is. Y'all niggas done got all bougie. You don't want to watch no shows on TV One and own no more. Now they some old white man's network. Y'all don't want to deal with it.
Well, I am happy to be your friendly neighborhood quarantine television correspondent. Anytime you need me.
Thank you for saving my life, Inca.
But I will say, before y'all go there, I have two things that I recently binged that I just want to give a shout out to because I was late on them. I think it was two. Right now, I'm only remembering one. The other one might come to me back. Oh, two things. So one was The Good Place, which had...
Yeah, bro, you was on that, though. Oh, no, you were on The Good Place or The Good Wife?
He was on The Good Wife.
I was watching The Good Wife.
Okay.
I've seen both.
Yeah, The Good Place with Ted Danson and... I can't remember homegirl's name.
She's Kristen Bell.
My mom kind of accidentally put me onto it. She was watching it one day when she was here, and I was like, what is this? And I was like, this is kind of cute. And I'd always heard of it and seen it, and I started watching it a couple of weeks ago. I binged it in a weekend. I loved it. Like, I really loved it. Like, a great little binge, feel good.
Finally something original, too. I've never seen anything
like
that.
Very original. And then the other one, which I just finished this weekend, and I literally don't think I ever heard of it, but I realized I'd seen a clip from it but didn't know what it was the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that was actually on the CW. And it's over, but it's also, I think it's four seasons. And it's really kind of layered, and that's the reason I wanted to bring it up, because it starts as like this kind of quirky story about this woman who runs into her ex-boyfriend one day randomly while she's miserable in her life, and like leaves her job, drops everything to move to like this random town in California that he's from in the hopes of, and thinking that like fate wants them to be together. And that starts the journey. And it starts as like this quirky kind of, oh, she's low key stalking him, but it's cute and it's funny. But then like really unfolds into a real like conversation about mental health. Right. And boundaries and limits. And during one season, it actually even gets a little bit dark, but then resolves itself. But it's very interesting the way, and what's her name? Something Bloom. It's not Emily Bloom. I'll come back with her name. But she apparently was diagnosed with like anxiety, OCD, and some other things like in real life.
Okay.
She's a former SNL writer. She's done some other musical stuff. But it's also like a musical, which is the funny part about it. And it had a whole cult following. It won some Emmys and all of that. But it's a really, it's worth binging. It is funny. It is endearing. But it also is really clever the way they navigated that line between, okay, we really do have to talk about some serious shit here with like her behavior and what adults go through. And that line, like with you on Netflix, between, this is really romantic, but actually, no.
It's actually creepy.
Yeah, this is actually creepy, and it's a problem. And
it's not cute.
Right. So it does actually navigate that line really well, and is funny and kind of cute at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it's a musical, I think I've seen a clip of that. And because it was a musical, I was like, no.
I think you might have seen, there's a clip with Nipsey. Is it Nipsey? I think it's Nipsey. And he's in a bathroom.
It is. That's the clip I'm talking about.
He's in a bathroom with this white woman who's like getting dressed to go out on a date. She's got on Spanx and she's been waxing and she's been doing all shit. And Nipsey's like, this is all the shit you gotta do?
Nipsey Hussle?
Yeah. He's like, I owe some bitches an apology. And I saw that clip and I was like, I have no idea what the fuck this is from. Is this a video? Is it a TV show? Is it whatever? But it's from that show.
Okay.
Because she goes into like these vignettes when she's doing stuff and goes into like a whole musical, like Josh Groban is in it, like a whole thing. But it's that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, since
I'm gonna check it out.
Since we're talking a little TV, we'll get back to the quick little shout out segment. But it came out, I think today, almost yesterday or today, I believe it was today, that Netflix has picked up several iconic black sitcoms from the late 90s and the early 2000s. So they picked up
Moesha,
The Game, Sister, Girlfriends, The Parkers, Half and Half, and One on One.
Justice for Half and Half and One on One, by the way, which I thought were adorable shows that not enough people watch. And I love
now, which one is the one with the girl?
The Essence Atkins?
Yeah, one of them ones got they sisters.
Yeah, that's half and half.
That's Half and Half.
Yeah, because that girl who's her sister is a trip because she doesn't age. Like, she's like 52.
Rachel Drew.
She's 52, and she looked like she's like 28. Looked like
the same age. Yeah, she was in a craft. Was that like a million years ago?
Oh, here go, bro. Don't do it, bro. 95. Don't do it, bro. Hold that thought, bro.
She's an attractive woman. There's no doubt about that. She does not look 28.
Well, that's true.
She doesn't look 50 something years old, though. She looked like she was in her 20s for a solid, like, 20 years, though.
She looked great. She had that Bianca Lawson.
Bro, I don't really agree with that. Because, you know.
she looked 94. I see the crow's feet.
But that's important because no shots to my fairer skinned sisters. But, you know, light skinned women don't. It gets tricky around a certain age.
You can hide
a multitude of sins with, like, I have a tan right now. Like I realize how much, I have a light tan. Like, I realize how much I miss having a tan during the summer because it's the only time I don't have to wear concealer. Because it hides.
Everything kind of evens out.
It evens everything out. And so, that's like Cheyenne's going through that now. She was joking when everybody was doing the aging app, talking about how terrible. Look at her. I was like, because you light skin. Like, that's what.
Yellow.
I mean, I love y'all, though.
I mean, a little shot.
It's a little shot.
I mean, but my mom is light skin and she aged really well. So it's not everybody, but I'm just saying, look at Jasmine Guy.
Oh!
I'm just saying.
Whoa.
I knew you was going to kill Jasmine.
No, she looks her age.
Don't Jasmine got the lupus?
I think she has some sort of illness.
Why I kind of turned up to that is because I think we always equate like attractiveness with youthfulness, and we always make that as a comparison, and like
that's fair.
Yo, women can be 52 and be attractive, right?
Like, hell yeah.
I'm saying she doesn't have to
look 38.
28. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only thing that I'm heightenedly sensitive to that.
Okay, I understand. Hold on, but we're getting off track though. I want to talk about the shows for a second.
Okay, sorry.
So they picked these up, which I think is a great look for them.
But they're rolling out. Cause like they're not all coming at the same time.
Yeah, they're coming out over the next 3 months.
Some are coming in October. Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming in the next 3 to 4 months. They'll be kind of rolling them out, you know, periodically. But I think it's.
I might go back and revisit Moesha. I stopped watching when she turned down the car from her dad.
Oh wow! I never was deep in Moesha.
That's my age group though. Randy and I are the same age.
Yeah, see, I was a little bit past that, but I just think like this from a marketing standpoint. Obviously, there's a huge contingent of black folks, especially black women, who loved all these shows and are loyal viewers. And what I'm hoping is it also maybe gives them the idea to maybe finally do that Girlfriends movie. And
I feel like all of them aren't in.
This probably was bought from CW or like they.
Well, it looks to me like all of these were UPN shows because UPN the game is only season one through three.
Right. So it means. So
they bought UPN properties.
That's what it looks like.
Okay.
I did watch One on One, which was Flex and Kyla Pratt. Tashina Arnold is Flex's ex-wife, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But she wasn't on that often. And I was going to go back and say what Half and Half never got, Half and Half just ended. Like Girlfriends, you know, I think with the writer's strike and everything, they never, I don't think anyone did either. They never actually got an ending. Like and that's why people want the Girlfriends movie, because like Joan was engaged, like she had started teaching.
It was a lot of hanging threads.
There were so many hanging threads. I want to say the last episode of the show is Joan getting engaged.
Nigga, I'm so... So not watching a Girlfriends movie. Like,
I know you're like, not.
I would. Like, I nigga, that was 20 years ago.
I know, but nigga, you can still do it.
I know, I mean, I know,
I also
Mr.
felt like they didn't need a Sex and the City movie for the record.
Yes, so. I agree. And I also feel
or
like
Sex
Mr.
and the City too.
Well, they did three of them.
I only watched one because I was like, the rest of it, you squeezing blood out of turnip at this point. Like,
Mr. I don't fuck with nothing nostalgic over here. Like, I'm bugging out.
I want to see the Girlfriend movie only because, like Nye said, you know, it was a long time ago, obviously, but there was just so many loose threads. Like, I was just like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
this nigga just wanted to be on TV One so he could eat butter pecan ice cream.
Starring Essence Atkins.
All the black Darren Henson.
Bye, he gotta be in there. No. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gotta be in there getting a slot, man. Get everybody a play. Come on now, we need shit.
Speaking of black people in Netflix, Jeff, I can't believe I actually haven't seen many people talking about it at all. I can't believe you haven't watched the Nia Long
movie. You know what? I watched maybe the first 20 minutes of it, and even for me, it's awful.
It is a rough watch.
It is awful. I was like, oh, come on now, bro. Like, this is...
Honestly,
it's a retread of a plot done 100 times.
Yeah, and realistically, I just... Listen, she's clearly an attractive woman.
Yeah.
They have a good-looking cast. That's what got them through it. I just got one question to any of you guys who did watch it. Did the boy that was stabbed up on the deck die? Like, they never really kind of, like, did the little boy, like, did he go up yonder?
He
I didn't really kind of get that right there.
Yeah.
Like, I just left my man hanging.
Yeah, I had a little excitement for it when it first dropped. But like I said, I waited a few days. I guess I was doing some other things. And then one night I was like, let me just go and get into this thing. And I watched 20 in and I was just like, no, I can't. I mean, I've seen this movie with Tyler. I've seen this movie, so I never finished it, and I don't know if I'll ever get back to it.
In fairness, in some defense, it was shot well.
Yeah, it was
solid. It was solid acting for what it was. It was just a movie we've seen literally 100 times.
Literally, so peace to them. But yeah, you know, peace to Netflix for getting these shows, and we'll see. You know, if they spin anything off of these shows. Because you know they did. So they BET's bringing more pains or whatever with the Tyler properties. But I feel like Netflix. I feel like it's something else that they spun off and kind of brought up to date. Am I tripping? Okay.
Only thing about Netflix acquiring black properties, which I appreciate them doing it. I appreciate that they have like the strong black lead department that is intentionally focused on black properties and black content, but they never keep them for long. So like they'll bring a black movie back like 6 months later, that bitch be gone. And I understand like there's licensing deals involved.
Yeah, rotating on and off that platform.
Yeah, but it's very much like you better get that shit while it's here. But yeah. I will also encourage people, if there are TV shows that you are looking for, black TV shows, always check TV One because they keep them bitches in rotation. Like, speaking of cute black shows, I think I mentioned it when I was watching it. At one point, they reran the entire series of All of Us, which was the Dwayne Martin, Lisa...
I didn't know that.
That was based loosely on the Smith family. And I liked that little show. I really did enjoy that.
I did too.
I even got my mom into it. That's another show that didn't...
Fun fact, Justin read for that part.
Really?
The little kid. And he made it to the second round. And Will Smith was in the room and he froze.
Damn!
Oh,
he was going through... He was going through the Men in Black phase.
Yeah.
And he saw Will Smith and he froze.
Yeah. I understand, Justin. I understand how that could happen, though. It's like a megastar sitting there right with you. It's hard to fight through that. You all right with me, boy? any shout outs before you move forward?
Anybody? I'm going to give a shout out to Portia from RHOA, who apparently has been in these protest streets.
Oh, yeah. Got arrested and everything.
About that life.
Doing all this other shit. Like, I see you her, growing up.
Her grandfather's blood boils up in her.
She's stepping into her. She's stepping
Her father? That's her father.
Grandfather.
Jose is her grandfather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her dad is a Hosea, too, but he's
He's a junior. Yeah, definitely. God bless Portia. She, and it ain't for the cameras. Like, she's doing
not
it.
That's a far cry from thinking the Underground Railroad was a dream.
Yeah. Exactly. I think I said this. The one thing I did appreciate about the last season of Real Housewives was that Portia seemed like she was, like, growing the fuck up.
Yes, and, yes. And she's not at being goofy kind of teenagery as she was previously. Exactly. You got anybody, Inca?
I don't think so. We just celebrated Ivy's 3-year anniversary of coming home from the NICU.
Yay!
That is potato chip day in our house.
Potato chip day.
Yes.
That's lit. You got anything, bro?
No.
Take a drink. I got two. Fuck FedEx. I ordered some, and I noticed you're a former employee, bro. I know you got some good times.
Yeah, FedEx is trash.
Bro, listen, I ordered some Nike slides. I went away this weekend, which I'll talk about next. But so I wasn't here Friday, so they left the door tag on the door. Fine. So Monday, I was like, all right, let me just sit right here and chill. Like, I'm not going to miss my shit. I'm sitting here. I check the email that they send. It says delivery exception, which means that they tried to deliver. And
which is a lie because you're sitting there.
And I'm like, I'm here. Ain't nobody rung my bell. Ain't nobody rung my buzzer. Ain't nobody. I'm sitting right here in the house. So I'm pissed off. I call them up. I'm like, yo, it was good. Oh, no, we can come back tomorrow, which was yesterday. Same shit. I'm in the crib. I didn't even went downstairs in the morning looking for the dude. Ran to another FedEx guy who was coming from a different place. My FedEx stuff was coming from the Bronx. This guy's from Yonkers. He's like, nah, I'm from Yonkers, bro. Like, but the guys from coming. I'm sitting in the crib, same thing. I'm like, y'all wasn't here. Y'all didn't come. I've been in the house all day. Then I call him spazzing. She says, I'm going to see if I can get the guy to come back. Of course, the guy don't come back. Then I call this morning. Now I got to go all the way over to the Bronx to pick up my shit. I'm like, yo, that's whack, man. Because I don't know if old boy was just not stopping and saying he was stopping or whatever, but like, I was home during the day, Monday and yesterday, and they played. You have any response to this, bro?
Because
he worked at FedEx. Because he worked at FedEx, yeah.
Yes.
He worked at FedEx like over a decade.
Yeah. Yeah, that nigga definitely did not come to the house.
Yeah,
he put
come.
It in as he did. Exactly. I mean, it ain't.
He was
I mean,
it's 90 degrees outside. I'm gonna just
nigga. He was like, look, man. And honestly, if your shit was way out the way, that nigga might not have even been 6 or 7 blocks. Like depending on how your route is set up
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, he probably was like, I ain't fucking driving all the way over there. Man. Yeah, I'm gonna just put this in.
So fuck them. Peace to my boy. Peace to my, because now I got to go to the Bronx to get my shit. Peace to my boy, Chris Atlas. I went up to his house up in Vermont this weekend past, and it was well needed. Like more needed than I even realized until I got there. You know, to just kind of like decompress and relax up. It's my first time in Vermont. It's like it's a beautiful state. It's very green. It's a small population state. It's only 700,000 people in the whole state. So,
and only 1.5% black.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of us, like 4 of us besides us. You know, to who we was with. But everybody's, you know, very friendly, and it's very easy. I know they're bottom 5. They might even be bottom 3 in the amount of COVID cases because it's so easy to social distance. Because like I didn't see one apartment building. They don't have apartment buildings up there because there's no need to kind of stack people on top of each other.
I feel like there has to be a neighborhood.
Maybe in Burlington. I wasn't in Burlington.
They got some projects somewhere in Vermont now.
Maybe in Vermont. Some
condos
sure.
or some apartment complex. Yeah.
Maybe
it's not where you were.
Maybe in Burlington, but in the Stowe area, which is about an hour from Burlington, where all the ski resort stuff are. No apartment. I didn't see any apartment buildings. And we rode around, you know, extensively.
Well, yeah, not where the ski resorts and stuff are.
Yeah, so it's really pretty. Everybody's really friendly. The food is great because everything is farm to table. They have one fast food restaurant in Stowe. There's a McDonald's. That's all they have. And everything else is like, usually you go to a place, it'd be like a strip or like, oh, it's KFC. They don't have none of that shit. So the food is great. It's just a really, you got to worry more about bears than seeing some shit or getting, you know, actually shot by hunters or something like that.
But I would just say, I think I would caution you to, like, you know, Vermont is definitely a very green state, but this would be like somebody going to Woodstock and judging New York on Woodstock. Like, you were in a vacation area that's very rural, so like they're not necessarily going to have like the strip malls and the this and the that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm sure Burlington has malls and stuff like that, but being Burlington is like it's a very small city, you know. But anyways, the bottom line, it was great. It was very peaceful, very, you know, calm, and had a good time and ate some good food and just sat on the deck and sat in the grass and just chilled. So, peace to that. I wish I was up there now, you know.
Why did he choose Vermont? I don't know anybody who has a vacation home.
He said, I actually asked him that. He said that he was started to go up there years ago in the winter. Like, they would rent houses and just kind of like for the, you know, the scenery, like the snow. And they just really kind of just fell in love with it. And they just been there for like probably 10 years renting houses during the winter holidays. And, you know, he's done well for himself. He decided to buy a crib. And they got really, really, it's a really nice ass house too. It was really nice, yeah, so it was good. So let's jump on into it. First thing I want to discuss is I'm gonna hold on the TV stuff for just a second. I want to talk about Meg Thee Stallion first. Because I think we touched on this last week, but it's kind of taken, I don't know if it's taken a different turn, but that's kind of extended. So, as we know, Meg Thee Stallion was hanging out with Tory Lanez, which we found out later that I guess they've been kind of dating a little bit. And they went to a pool party at Kylie Jenner's home. And there was an issue between Meg and Tory. And they got in their car service.
Do we really know that part, though? That's my
yes, that's what they said.
Like, we don't really know anything except that Meg was with Tory and they were at.
No, the rumor is that they had some tape. They started arguing, and they started arguing in the car about something. I don't know what the issue was about. And then somehow, some way, Tory shot Meg in both feet in the car. Cops were called. Meg had to get out the car, and her, it was Meg, Tory, and Megan's friend. I forget that girl's name. And they had to get out the car. Megan had to walk on her shot feet and like lay flat, you know, flat on the ground. It was cops, helicopter. It was a mess. Since then, you know, the joke started flying, as, you know, niggas do. And then Megan kind of, like, once she kind of came out of, I guess, some initial surgery, started to get on social media and talk about how, you know, she's hurt that niggas was joking, how this shit is very serious, how she could have lost her career, you know, and insinuated that Tory shot her, never said his name, but insinuated that Tory shot her, and has gotten on social media, what, two or three times, at least? And kind of said, you know, again, like, yo, I'm hurt right now. It's ain't no joke. And, you know, she cursed out Drea, which I'm going to get into in a second.
I feel like she only did the whole y'all are joking about my life post once. Like, she got on socials. She said that she had to have surgery, but she was okay. And then I think a second time she gave a little bit more information. But the only thing I saw where she really addressed, like, y'all are making fun of my life, was this past week, where she was like, you know, imagine I'm 25, I don't have either one of my parents, like, I got people, you know, you kind of have people around you, maybe it's not the right people, but the people that make you feel, you know, comfortable and safe, and maybe it's not the right people, but y'all are making a joke about it. And that was the time when she, like, got choked up and started crying. And I think that was the same one in which she cursed out Drea. But it's not, I don't think she's been getting on social media saying the same thing every time. Like, first it was like, yeah, I'm injured, I had surgery. Then it was like a little more information. And then this last time was the one where she addressed people kind of making the shit a joke.
Well, which, I count the Drea curse out, I guess, as one, because she was like, bitch, it ain't fucking funny, da, 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 you know.
But I think it shot. Was the same. I think
no, it was, no, it was different. She got on Twitter and cursed Drea out, and then she went on Instagram. She did a tweet cursing Drea out right when that clip came out with Drea.
Right.
And then she went on the gram and talked about it more.
Okay.
But whatever, semantics. But my issue, and I wanted to bring this up because on one side, you know, and maybe I'm tripping. This is obviously has happened to me, and I do feel bad because, you know, hey, one of them bullets ricochet or something, that could have been a lot worse situation. But it's just kind of throwing me that she's going on social media, you know, talking about how, you know, this is tough, and this is her, and somebody, you know, I got shot, and you guys are joking with me, joking about me, you know, with this thing. But then allegedly, when she went to speak to police, she wasn't cooperative.
And so
she's like, I'm like, okay, so you got shot. You know who shot you.
Mm.
You didn't want to tell the police who shot you for what, you know, whatever reasons you may have. But then you go on social media and kind of say, that's fucked up that y'all talking shit about me. It's like, I feel like you kind of can't have it both ways, Ma.
I think she absolutely can have it both ways, because just because she doesn't want to put, and this is a whole separate situation, but just because she doesn't want to end Tory's career and put him in jail, right, for whatever reason, still doesn't give people, like, because the license... The jokes are, like, people were comparing her to Della Reese and Harlem Nights. And also, like, in terms of what Drea said, that shit was absolutely...
No, Drea shit was... We're going to get to Drea in a second.
That was the impetus of her finally saying something. I also get that because, again, like... But I also, like I said, we only see slices of 25-year-old Twitter. That shit is really fucking ignorant and disgusting, right? And even now, people are like, if Meg didn't present herself as so aggressive and manly, if she was more like a Drea, we wouldn't even be making jokes about Meg. That's the shit that Meg is reacting to.
Yeah, bro.
I think that this was two waves. Initially, when it was understood that she was okay, and there was still a huge cloud around what took place, meaning no one had spoken about this, I think that the assumption that many of us who have been around, you know, dumb shit that you've seen at 25, assumed that this nigga was drunk or high. He was fucking around with a loaded gun, okay, and he let off a shot and it hit her. Because the assumption was she had gotten into the car. Like, they were cool, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was, right? And so that's when you saw that first wave of the Della Reese memes and shit like that, and people kind of... It was realistically, in fairness, it was, and let me not say fairness, because I don't want to seem like I'm justifying anyone making fun of her. But the initial response was to her being okay, right. No one saying anything.
And it being assuming it was an accident.
Us all assuming that this had been an accident, and the reason that they weren't saying anything was because... You know, it would be adding fuel to the flame. Like, he already got hit with the gun. He's out of here. It ain't no way around that. Now it's just a matter of, is he going to do time for a gun, or is he going to do time for an attempted murder,
mm-hmm.
or an assault with a deadly weapon?
Assault. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, like to tag on to Bruh's point, like at the beginning, like you said, we thought it was a horrible accident, right? But then it kind of, the stuff started kind of trickling out, even from her, it kind of insinuated like, no, it wasn't an accident, like the nigga did it, like they was fighting them, I don't know, started whatever, but like it wasn't like he was like, oh shit, he's like, he shot her. So this dude shot you. He didn't shoot you by accident. He shot you in both your feet, could have ended your career, right? And you decide not to talk to the police. Again, that's your prerogative to do so,
right?
But then I just feel like, again, and maybe I'm bugging, but you can't come to me and say, yo, like, you know, treat me like a martyr.
She's treating her like a murder, Jeffrey. People are making jokes about the fact that he shot her on purpose.
I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the joking.
She's talking. She's asking people to stop making light of the fact that somebody shot her on fucking purpose. She's not saying y'all need to cry over me. She's like, how are y'all making my shit a game? That's what she's saying. And the thing is that there are people who have more jokes now that they know that Troy shot her on purpose. Yeah. And they're speculating all kinds of shit. They're like, Kylie wanted her to do a threesome. And Kylie Kylie posted some fucking,
I think that's why you saw the last couple of interactions with her on social media, because after the information has started to develop a little bit that, oh shit, okay, she was really shot like on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of under the impression that at worst, this is a violent act. And, yes. and we're also looking at the potential of, you know, a partner violence, right? Like we're looking at
domestic violence
type of situation. And niggas kept going with the jokes.
Right. Increased the jokes. It made
there was that first week of, there was that first couple of days where it was like, Meg got shot. Is she okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's good. She, you know, Meg is fine. She's okay. They removed the bullet fragments. And then it was like, all right, she be all right. And now you deal with the speculation of what happened. And as this thing tends to have more color to it, and now people are saying, bet she won't do that shit no more. And you know what I'm saying? Like, so the jokes had shifted from what was, and I've talked about this before, like you can tell when a joke is someone trying to be funny, and you can tell when a joke is venomous. And it went from light, okay, she all right, to very mean-spirited.
Yes.
Talking about her size, making that a part of the story. There was one
somebody
particular
said something
podcast.
About Tori finding her Adam's apple or finding her dick or something like that. Like it was just there was one.
Yeah,
there was
Jess Hilarious reenacted it in a car.
Which is like
that's what I was saying. Like Jeffrey, she wasn't saying I need y'all to be fucking starting GoFundMes on my behalf. She was saying, how are y'all making my shit a game, right?
But I do not think
that her choosing not to press charges means that it's open season to do this.
Not open season, but I just feel like, again, I've never been abused or anything, so I'm speaking way out of turn here, but I feel like if a dude shoots you twice on purpose, allegedly, and you have the opportunity to kind of fix that, and then you don't. Like, what are you doing?
That can make you open to criticism. That doesn't make you open to jokes.
But that's no different, Jeff.
We're talking about the jokes. We're talking about making your shit a joke.
Hold on a second. Even with the criticism, bro, that's no different than what is the average on a woman trying to leave a domestic violence situation? It's like four or five times.
Like seven times or something.
7 times or something like that. So, I think it's safe to say that we're not really clear on the level of intimacy that they were that they had as a friendship.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is a matter of her not cooperating because she's on some fuck the police, you know, no snitching shit, or if this is, hey, I really don't know what to do here. I don't know if this was a, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the thing is,
for somebody to shoot, I can't even wrap my mind around what's going on for somebody to intentionally shoot you in the foot, in the feet twice, right? Mm-hmm. In both feet, right? So there has to be something bigger here than just they were in an argument. A nigga don't shoot you in both feet just because you ran a motherfucker.
Let me be clear about violence, because I've seen niggas be violent, not with women, but just in general. Any nigga that's willing to pull out a gun in the car, that nigga has shown some level of violence prior to that time.
Absolutely.
You don't go from everything being okay and hunky-dory to a nigga pulling out a pistol in the car and letting off shots.
Letting off. Coming from a pool party.
Also remembering that she's mostly got people her own age around you. I'm sure there's also some guilt of like I know someone who's very close to me. I'm not going to say who went through a situation of domestic violence, but literally like nigga was chasing her down the street. She's like put her out with have clothes, like all kinds of stuff, like actual real violence. And she hesitated to go to the cops because her thought was, I'm gonna fuck up his career. This is a young black man. He just needs to get help, blah, blah, blah. So even though, like y'all said, Tory's gonna get the gun charge regardless, who knows what else was involved in that night that Megan may still feel like she needs to protect him from. Because also, if she reported against him, there's gonna be some motherfuckers out there somewhere who's like, mm-hmm. Megan put Tory's ass in jail and she did this and she did that. And we as full-ass, grown-ass motherfucking adults may know that's not the point. But again, this is a 25-year-old woman in a different space in her life. But all that said, yes, it would be beneficial for Megan to help in, you know, getting her abuser to get proper punished. However, it still doesn't leave, like, if this was prompted in part by the Drea shit, but also by other stuff she was seeing, like comedians reenacting it in cars, I see gossip people speculating that there was some kind of freaky sex shit going on with, like, Kylie and Tori trying to rope her into some sex shit. People talking about the Kardashian shit. People talking about her shit. Now niggas talking about her fucking masculinity and her hypersexuality and her size and her weight. So, and you know, she's 25, she probably reads all the comments. She probably is looking at her mentions. Imagine how that feels. So it might, so I think she was well within a normal human reaction to do exactly what she did. And even then, you know, she's trying not to cry. She's trying to hold back tears. And people are like, Megan, you're so strong. You're so strong. Fuck all that strong shit. Let her not be strong. She ain't got to be strong. She got fucking shot in the feet twice. She's at the epicenter of her career. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's fair to say, well, Megan, since you ain't want to talk to the police about Tory, you can't react to what people are saying about you. I don't think that's fair at all. Or compassionate.
What you got to say, Inka?
I was just going to say, she said in the IG clip that she has nobody. So this might just be a way that she is protecting herself. She feels unprotected.
Mm.
Like we say, I feel like every time I'm on the show, black women, we all we got. I feel like on my timeline, that's all I saw was black women going up for her, minus the Dreas and the, you know, ridiculous people. But maybe she just feels like this is the way that she can protect herself by only saying these specific things. Maybe that's why she waited so long to even address it.
Mm. Okay.
That's all I got.
And Drea was fucking out of line. And
Drea was out of line. Drea was wild.
And more people came to get Drea's back than came to get fucking Megan's back. People like, Drea, you good? We got you. Shut the fuck up. See that?
I think what we saw with her was actually with Drea. I'm sorry, was actually a little more insight to a level of dysfunction.
Yeah,
that I think is really seated in a lot of. Yeah, well, I don't want to say young women because I think old women also, older women also kind of deal with that. But I think it's seeded in that, like, this violence equates passion, it equates mm-hmm. love. That there is some nobility to acting crazy mm-hmm. or being seen mm-hmm. as so like you love me so much that you are uncontrollable.
Yeah, you're willing to fucking like bash your head against the window.
Exactly. And I think that while she was saying that in jest, I think that there was a lot of truth
mm-hmm.
in that statement. There's a lot of truth in that tone. And look, I mean, I'm saying all that to say she was absolutely wrong and shit comes with consequences. You just got to deal with it. But I legitimately think she felt that way.
I think she was joking at all. Yeah. She wasn't joking one bit. I don't say just women. I know people like that because I know niggas like that too that don't understand a relationship unless there's an element of chaos to it. It's got to be an element of chaos.
We've all seen those clips that she posted with Orlando Scandrick where he was destroying her things.
Exactly.
And she was, like, on live with that. And they got back together after that. So
they probably had sex that night.
Clearly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's people who don't understand relationships unless there's some type of chaotic, like, girl, I got home and this nigga was waiting up for me, or, yo, bro, I got home, she had cut up my clothes, and, like, so there's this, like, a thing that people fucking, some people, that's all, that's what they know, and they guess if they don't have, they don't see those signals, they look at you like, oh, you ain't even really into me like that, because you're not, you know, making me sit down, like, well, but you ain't going nowhere tonight, like, you know, it's like, they, you know, that type of thing, you know?
There's an unlearning that has to take place from very, very young, where, you know, they tell you that the boys are hitting you and pulling your hair because they like you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that never goes away for some people.
It's for a lot of people. There's a, for a lot of people. And there's, yeah, and the boys have to be taught that too. Like, yo, if you like her, don't, that don't mean you fucking punch her. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a six-year-old, like, you don't have to fucking, you know, you say pull her hair or tackle her. Let's show that you like the girl. You know, it's a weird thing. So I wanted to bring that up because, and I hear everything that y'all saying. I still not always comfortable, but I'm.
We know move, no let's, one can let's change move your on. Mind, Jeff.
I guess I don't understand why. You feel like.
I guess again, and you know, it could be my. I guess, again, it could be my misogyny, and if it is, I need to check it and figure it out. But even with the last clip, it's like, and I'll probably get in trouble, so these are my views only.
Only me.
You know, and feel free to write, tweet, text, DM, and tell me if I'm wrong and I'm bugging.
So I turn this camera off.
Bro, turn this shit off. Bro, I'm out here selling TV shows, nigga. I ain't got time to fuck with your bullshit. But even with the last clip, it's like, I know not about to jump down my throat, but fuck it, I'm already far out in the water. Like, she comes on the clip, she got all the ice on, she got the chain on, she got the wig on, the titties is out. It's like,
it's armor, Jeffrey, it's armor.
Why would she not look like herself?
She's trying to show that she's good and the best. Like, she's trying to, like, she's not asking for sympathy.
She's
not going to come on and look broken. She's not going to come on and look tired and worn down. It was armor. She's trying to guard herself against anybody being able to pick apart her appearance. Because what she was really trying to do, even though she broke down crying, she was really trying to be tough.
Like,
fuck y'all, right?
I'm so good.
You can't come on and be like, fuck y'all, if you don't look like...
You don't look like a fuck y'all.
But, and also, aside from that, just as men, we have to be very conscious about what we do when we're sort of painting a perfect victim. And we have to be very conscious that we're not only giving sympathy to the people that we think are suffering because they look in that same way or they behave in that same way. You know what I'm saying? Like, we work, I'm gonna tell you, and this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but like, I was very shocked at how many people lived in my town that used the fucking soup kitchen, dude. That used the pantry. Like, right. I was very shocked. So just because the car's washed and it's in the driveway doesn't mean that
there's not issues.
Exactly. So we can't always look for that perfect victim or what we think that person should be.
Right.
You know, in that situation.
And also, this isn't even just for you, Jeffrey, but this is just kind of for everybody. You know, those who know me, like, I'm not a small girl. I'm 5'9". I've never been skinny, right? So, like, and obviously, I got some attitude and some presence to me, right? But what that means is that people always assume I'm good. It's always like, Naima can handle it. She'll be fine. Motherfuckers piss me off. Motherfuckers don't take certain care with how they come at me because their thought is, even like bosses, all of that shit. Like, I've had my most immediate boss. We were working with a company where the woman who was our direct report, this white chick, she was incredibly rude and inappropriate. And I had to defend myself because my boss was basically like, well, you know, I'm not comfortable with conflict, but you're good with that. And I'm like, this is for you to step in and do. Like, even with that, it's like, but
it's not your job. It's her job.
Yeah. But you're so strong. That you're so strong shit. So like that shit is all sexy when we talk about Megan Stiles and her ass being amazing and how great she looks. But it also automatically programs people to think Megan will be all right, right? But if it was like a little Drea, niggas would be like, oh, my boo-boo Drea, you know, or like a petite, smaller, like a softer looking woman, it would be a whole different thing. So like, even in our even the way optics, like I said, even with Megan, I'm sure she put on all that ice, all that whatever, because she was kind of like, y'all not gonna see me looking frail. And I'm of the point right now where I'm like, fuck that. No, I'm frail. I'm not always okay. Like, I don't always want the burden of being
then
like,
how long did it take you to grow to that point where you're like, fuck that? I don't mind showing my frailness.
It was very recent, and I'm 44, because we're also always told, like, if I'm in an office setting, and you know, the music industry is fucking, niggas will talk to you. Any kind of fucking
Heard stories. I'm like,
but it was
damn.
Very much like, you gotta suck it up, walk it off, go find a corner where nobody can see you cry, you can't show that you're upset. It's a sign of weakness, and that's a black thing, period. Like,
it is.
White women get to be as upset and distraught and fucking like irrational,
go to HR and
manic as they can fucking fall out at the slightest, you know, hint of somebody offending them. Black women do not get that luxury ever. White women get it countrywide. Why we got all these, why we got the Karen nickname happening. Black women never get to do that. We've been told since day one, it's a sign of weak. Don't show them they hurt you. To anybody, to men, to bosses, to outside world, to whatever. So we're kind of taught to hide our humanity a little bit, right? And optically, there is also the thing, you know, Megan's name, Megan the Stallion, like even the name connotates strength and resolve and fortitude and presence. So there is
something. And masculinity, because it's a stallion is the male horse.
Exactly, and masculinity. So there is something even subconscious where it's like we elevate the strength in black women until it's time to actually take care of black women. And then it's like, why y'all being emotional? Will you be an extra? Why you want so much, whatever. So I say all that to say, and it was honestly, it was my relationships that made me look before I thought about it in a bigger view, because as much as niggas say they don't like crazy broads, it's as much as niggas be talking about be my peace, it's the bitches that complain, nag, threaten, give ultimatums. They get what they need. The women who don't, the thought is, well, Nye or whomever, they'll be all right. Let me handle this one because she's going to be fucking blowing up my phone, but Nye will be good. I can deal with that later. That's not fair either, right? So it's like, that made me change my point of view first. And then with all the like trust black quote, you know, hashtag trust black women, hashtag do this, hashtag do that. And then just looking at the movement lately, who, like, nobody got us. White people want us to save the world. White women want us to come and fucking be their shield when we have to. And back them up when we have to, you know, niggas want us to put them back together, clean them up, you know, save their lives, put them in therapy, all that other shit. But when everything is good, that is like, oh, y'all just hold that. Like, we can't ask for anything in return. That's the problem. And so,
Inka, you got anything to say to this?
I mean, everything that I said is dead on. I was definitely in a situation at work where there was a mall shooting. Damn. And it was myself and one other employee, and I was terrified. SWAT team had to come and get us all out and everything. And the company sent, like, flowers to my white employee, like, that's to make sure up. She was good.
Right.
And you didn't, like, get nothing.
I didn't get anything. I think they gave me a phone call to see if anybody else was in the store.
Damn.
Wow.
And, like, if I locked up, but I didn't get anything. They're like, oh, you're that's a former crazy. Army, and you've... You know, we know just you're a poor manager, you're going to be okay. And I'm like, I can't fight a shotgun.
I wasn't planning, right, exactly. I wasn't planning on shotguns in the mall. Shit, we ain't in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
That's when, like, the light bulb went off for me. I was like, whoa. Like, clearly, I'm all I have, and I need to make my vulnerability more forefront.
Okay.
Otherwise, people will just continue to take advantage.
Exactly. Like, so.
I'll think about this, and I'm gonna get back to y'all next week. I do support Megan, though, for the record. I was a little thrilled by what was happening, but Troy's trash. If he did shoot her, he's trash. Because I have to say allegedly, because we don't know yet. The next thing I want to talk about is verses. So last week we had Snoop versus DMX. Very fun. Did we talk about this last
week? No, because it happened Wednesday.
It happened the day we taped. So you're right. Very fun, very pleasurable, two old ass uncles.
In all their uncleness,
owning their uncleness.
So good to see.
I still call it a gif, even though I guess it's a gif, but the gif with DMX dancing in the chair is legendary. Snoop got about 14 gifs that are legendary.
Snoop is doing so much. I mean, I don't think it was any surprise to anybody how entertaining Snoop was, but to see such an unguarded X, that was, none of us have ever seen that side of X.
Yeah.
And I think that, so I knew we would be entertained, but even, a lot of us were talking about, the matchup didn't make sense sonically. We didn't really know how it was going to go. I knew X was healthy, but again, X has never seemed like a very lighthearted dude who was going to just, roll with that energy. And you could tell he was a little awkward at the beginning.
I don't think he quite knew what to do. He seems like the kind of dude's like, he kind of knew what Versus was, or probably not all the way, really, but he was just like, Swiss said to be here at 8 o'clock, so here I am.
You know what I'm saying? And initially he didn't want to do it because he thought it was a battle, and he loves Snoop so much. Like, he has so much love for Snoop.
And respect for him,
He didn't want to disrespect Snoop, even on some kind of playful shit, right? But the whole rough, like, I ain't seen Darren and Wah in public in fucking at 20 goddamn years. I'm sure they've been around, but at the end, if you guys kept watching after the freestyle and everything while the cameras were still rolling, they were all there. It was the first versus Swiss has ever been to himself, not even his wife's, and he was there DJing, and he was on like X's side of the room. But you could tell there was so much energy channeled towards making sure, because it's the first time X has been in a space like this to perform in a very long time. And he's got his healthy weight. He got a gut for the first time. Mm-hmm. And we used to see
He was joking about him. He said, "Ain't gonna take a show tonight."
Yeah, but he was also like, y'all take a picture of us right now. We look like a 10, like the number 10. But like, as he relaxed and got into it, and like X dancing and doing backup the Snoop song, also watching Snoop, like, I think most people know, because I think there was even a reality show around it, that Snoop has coached youth football for years. But I felt like we really saw Coach Snoop, right? Like, the way he was, like, even with the freestyle part, where he was, like, trying to, like, get X to go. You could tell X was, like, timid. Like, but all night, you could tell that there was just a lot of energy in making sure X was comfortable.
That's okay, yeah.
And I really loved seeing that. I appreciated that.
What'd you think, bro?
I thought it was great. Obviously, the nostalgia is always good. It was really good to see X. He is it's a well documented history with him and his troubles and his trials. Mm-hmm. And I like this X. And when I say this X, so usually, not usually. I don't want to make it seem like it's every year. But when he does come out of recovery, he's super Jesus. Super, every second is about
the Lord. Like, the only thing you see is him praying. That's it.
And then you get, after about a month, there's the X where he's kind of embracing the fact that he's X.
Yeah.
And he's not, and he's kind of, so you get a little bit of Jesus, and then you get some X. And that's where we found him this weekend, right? Like, he was getting a little bit of all of that energy. And I think that's why you saw it. I think it was very good, you know, to see him happy and see him in a calm state. And I've said that before, that there may be like five artists in the world that I think that even if they didn't make money rapping, that they would still be rapping. And yeah. Snoop is one of them.
100%.
Snoop really legitimately
he's a rap fan. He's a rap fan.
He does this. Like, yeah. This is what he does. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was great to see that energy. It was great to see them connected like that. You know, I was happy. I thought that I leaned towards more Snoop's music than I do X, even though I'm from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I was never a huge fan of that sound. You okay. know, I understood it and I got it. It was no, you know, debate about it, but mm-hmm. I just, it was never really my bag.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it wasn't really my bag. So, but you know, I was glad. I mean, I also shout out to X for checking Swiss on them numbers. He kept saying, nigga, I don't know
about this.
Yeah,
don't shut
up, right? Made these shit up, yeah.
Yeah, so shout to him on that. And it was, to me, that that embodied what Versus was intended to be.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. It was brotherhood. It was a celebration. It was, and again, just them enjoying it as well. Like, even though this is supposed to be a performance and for the crowd, like, it's always better if you can see that they're having fun.
They was enjoying each other.
Yeah, and enjoying each other. Like, from the door, when Snoop came in and X came in, and Snoop was like, nigga, you want some chicken fingers? These chicken fingers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is going to be a good
night. And remember mid-show, X had to go to the bathroom. He's like, I didn't go to the bathroom. I'm putting some jams. I'm going to play some jams while you going to the bathroom. I'm going to keep playing these
and
records.
Like Sean said, you can tell, like, that freestyle, I think that freestyle period at the end was what Fab and Jada were trying to do, but Jada was drunk.
Yeah,
but you could tell Snoop just be sitting in this house freestyling all day long.
Like, yeah, all day long. Yeah, yeah.
Because that shit was too easy. It was so easy.
It went on forever, too.
Yeah, I had to turn it off. I feel like, I mean, I agree with everything all y'all saying. I feel like by the midpoint, we were seeing Calvin and Earl.
Agreed.
And not DMX and Snoop. We seen Calvin.
Nigga, I just realized they got two of the niggas names in life. Oh my God. Calvin and Earl.
Calvin Brody to Earl Simmons are two old ass niggas down to the car.
That sounds like a UPN show.
Calvin and Earl. So I feel like by midpoint, definitely once X really warmed up and started doing his little dancing, that was Calvin and Earl drinking some liquor, having chicken wings, loving each other's music, because they were both like, "Yo, nigga, you don't even understand how much I love that song you made." Like, it was very much a fellowship.
Definitely, and I loved learning that X got "Get At Me, Dog" from Snoop.
Yeah, exactly. When you met him. Yeah,
that I'd never heard before.
Yeah, I don't even think Snoop knew that until that.
Snoop. I think Snoop had just heard that while they were preparing for the battle, and like, but Snoop set the alley oop up for X to tell the story. But it was just like, it was a really, again, I knew we were going to be entertained. I didn't expect it to be that warm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was very warm. I think we found out that they have a little more history than we realized.
Correct.
Like they, you know, obviously they live on different coasts and they're moving to different places. But I feels like from back then, whenever they saw each other, they connected.
It was love.
Well, there were a few.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Sean.
I'm sorry. No, I'm just gonna say at that particular point, there were few. What we would call megastars.
True.
Because this is pre-internet, right? So we're talking about literally a handful of those guys. And they understood the pressures that came with when they would move around. Mm-hmm. So it would be like, yo, nigga, like, come to the crib and get something to eat. You know, fucking hotel food.
We're
going to go hang out. I'm going to show you where to go and what to do when you're here. So a lot of those guys did connect like that, even though they may not have had records together and all of that.
Yeah. You'll be playing. You hear some of the old rappers be like, if you like, they like, yeah, you know, I know his mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know his sister. Because they said when they would go to L.A., they might go to somebody's house and their mom would cook. Like, it's cook, like, oh, yeah, yeah, or that type, was that type of energy.
I think the other thing is that Snoop was a West Coast artist who very much loved East Coast hip-hop.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And he even kind of revisited, like, his moment at the Source Awards when he was like, the East Coast.
Yeah, 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 that was dope.
Like, he was hurt. Like, he was actually really hurt. Like, we know where the fuck we at. Yeah. But I was like, bruh, people are still triggered from the fucking 94 Source Awards. But, because it was the same awards where Suge gave the
Suge did the, you know, band. All in the video.
The South got something executive, to say.
The executive producer.
Executive producer. All in the video.
All
on the records.
But Snoop was really hurt because Snoop really fucked with East Coast hip hop, you know,
and still does,
and he still does, and I think that's one of the reasons why he really has respect and love for X, and also of course they were in Snoop's house, literally. Mm-hmm. So there was also, you know, Snoop was being a host, and I mean, listen, I'm still mad at Snoop for the Gayle tirade, and I'm still mad at him for that. And even though he gave a very thorough apology that I still hope was sincere, I want to be clear on that, because what happens now in the age of the internet is that when someone does something that we disapprove of and that needs to be, that was not okay and that needs correction, even after maybe that correction has happened, after they've apologized, you praise them for something else. And what somebody will say is, oh, but y'all done forgot already that he did. Yeah. No, I didn't forget that Snoop did that. But I also
You can forgive and not necessarily forget.
I'm not even saying I forgive it. I acknowledge that he apologized. I still think because he was damn near on some Talib shit. The nigga was going for like.
Well, no, he was wild. He was wild. The girl shit was disgusting.
But
the girl shit was disgusting.
But I will also acknowledge that because I saw a post that Snoop was like colorist towards, like, and I don't think that's the case. Like, even if he cheated on his wife back in the day, they've been together fucking 50
years. High school.
Yeah. I don't think it's that. Like, he's married to a brown skinned woman.
Yeah.
But also, Snoop's contribution, like y'all said, Snoop's contribution to the game and Snoop's kind of embracing of a role as an elder, right? Like, he, you know, he'll fuck with younger artists. He tries to, calling people nephew, being an uncle. He respects his older artists.
Definitely.
And I think that we can't overlook that and the importance of that when we're talking about like carrying on traditions and legacies in music. Like there are more things that Snoop adds than he takes away. That's I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. And then this week we have well, I don't know if it's this week. When I don't know when the next date is, but
Wednesday.
Is it next Wednesday? We have Rick Ross versus 2 Chainz. So that's going to be interesting.
That's going to be interesting.
And I guess they're eventually trying to set up. I saw they're trying to set up Ashanti versus Keisha Cole at some point as well. I'm gonna keep saying it. And I'm with all that, but hey, man, give me Frankie Beverly versus
Gladys Knight.
It was Gladys Knight, man. Can I get that? Can I get Miss Patty versus Miss Gladys? You know, it was a cook-off and...
The cook-off.
I need the cook-off.
I'd be there for a Patty and Gladys cook-off all day.
All day.
I just want every versus in the same room from now on.
And that's
the goal. No more technical difficulties.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I wanted to just mention... you know what? Let's do a little TV because, you know, we're deep into the show. We're going to do a couple shows. The main show I want to do is I May Destroy You, which is, I think it was episode 9. Bro, go ahead and check out. This is 8. Yeah, there's 4 more. This is actually a 12 episode season, which is usually HBO does a 10, but they're doing 12. And it's, I say this every week, but the show is great. The show is interesting and it's very
brilliant.
It's brilliant, and I still, like, it's so interesting to me to watch the show because there's definitely that streamline of, you know, the rape, her date rape, and trying to find out who did it, and put those pieces of that night back together and kind of figure out what exactly happened. But they've done a thing where they kind of don't dwell on it every episode. Like every, mm-hmm. there'll be all these kind of, they might throw a little piece here and a little crumb there, but like they also have episodes where they're constantly, what they've done is also decided to develop the other characters around her. Like Kwame, mm-hmm. like Terry, you know, the white girl, I can't remember her name now. So like they're starting to develop Biagio, like they're starting to develop
these other characters. Theo is her name.
Theo, yes, and Biagio is starting to develop all these other characters around her too. So the story is about Arabella, but they're giving you all these other pieces, and I'm thinking eventually it's going to come together at the end as to how all those other characters kind of had pieces to play in what happened to her that night.
I don't know if it's that, because I think.
But let me just say, not to say that.
Are you like, all caught up?
I'm caught up.
Yeah, not. But I'm. Okay. Let me just say this. I'm not trying to say that they made like they. Like, they did something to make it happen. But I think it'll be kind of like, oh, she was with Kwame, but then she left because she blah, 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 blah. You like that kind of thing. Like, not to say Kwame had something to do with it, but I think it's going to kind of pull it all together.
I think, see, but the problem I have with that theory is that what I think
Michaela.
I think Michaela is actually trying to do is show the normalcy of sexual assault and how insidious it is and how it intertwines in everybody's experiences, even if you don't know it, right? So we had back in Italy and the various levels of it. So in Italy with Terry, she thinks those two white guys don't know each other. They do. Mm-hmm. That is a type of assault, right? Because she consents it under false pretenses. It's not like she consented to sex, but she consented.
She didn't know that it was
scenario.
Right.
She consented to a false scenario. So that mm-hmm. is still a type of assault. The stealthing is a type of assault. You know, Kwame.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because that's one of the things I wanted to get into this week is, so Kwame, who's a gay character on the show, he decides that he's been sexually assaulted, and mm-hmm. he doesn't feel safe around men. So he decides he wants to have sex with a woman. So he goes on the, I don't think they actually called it Tinder, but basically it's Tinder.
An app,
and he meets this woman, and they FaceTime, and they talk a little bit, and then they meet up later on in the evening, and they have a date, and then they go to have sex. And then they have sex, and he's very uncomfortable because he's gay, but he does it anyway, and it brings back flashbacks of what happened to him, and it kind of gets a little tense for him. After the sex, they're doing the after-sex talk, laying around, kind of chilling, and mm-hmm. they start rapping a song. And when the song says nigga, she says ninjas.
Right.
And he's like, ninjas? What's that? And she's like, well, you know, I don't like to say the N-word. Like, I have a lot of black friends, and I respect that. Like, that's not my place to say that and everything. And he's like, what do you think? Like, so KKK is going to come kick your door? And she's like, nah, but I'm not really like that. And they start to have kind of like a conversation.
But she also says that people are sensitive because, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have a conversation about PC culture. Yeah. And then in the PC culture, mm-hmm. in London, and pardon my language for anybody who's listening who is LGBT, but I'm just saying just for the so you can understand.
Right.
In London, they call cigarettes faggots.
No, they call them fags.
Fags. They call cigarettes fags. So she said, excuse me. Look at bro. They go to clip. That's the clip for this week.
That can now be the clip for this week.
That's the clip for this week. I thought this. Okay, anyway. I'm
not going to say that word in unison. No, you're right.
Clip
every week about
it wasn't about me. It was going to be about Sean's face.
Okay. Blue cigarettes
anyway,
in
so,
London.
So, they call
Lucy. Specifically what we call
Lucy.
Yes, they call him that. So I'm not going to say the word again. So she says it, and he's like, kind of like, that was ill. And she's like, yeah, like, I can't even call a cigarette an F word without, you know, being worried that a gay cat's going to kind of run up on me. And he's like, well, I'm gay. And she's like, yo, you bugging, whatever, man. He's like, yo, I'm gay. So then they have a whole thing, and she kicks him out the house. My point to all of that is what you're saying, Nye, I took that as her also saying that was kind of sexual assault.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, you didn't tell her what the deal was.
Right, because he didn't say I'm bi. He said I'm gay. And then he even went on to share with her that she's the first woman he ever had sex with. And, you know, her thing was, mm-hmm. this wasn't this wasn't a casual hookup, which is what Kwame often does. Kwame, like, eat niggas in stalls and shit. They went on a date.
Yes.
You know? And she even said that. She said, we shared a lot. Like, a lot.
You had mad time to tell her.
And you just, like,
I'm sure she felt targeted.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And she was even, and I think this is also a very interesting and probably intentional thing, is that she was not 100% likable, right? Like, she even lets him know that she has a thing for black men.
Yes.
So she was like, what are you into?
Yes.
And he was like, I'm into whatever. And she's like, what are you into? She's like, I'm into black men, can't you tell? So even she's letting him know up front, like, this is my
yeah, it's like a fetish kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Right. And even though you might be like, yo, that's wild, it's still, I think, what it was intentional to kind of show, he had opportunity to be like, here's who I am. Here's my sexual preference. Here's my thing. So I say all that to say, even though Michaela's assault is the primary and her reaction to it, her assaults, plural, because again, when she got
more than one,
that was also assault, which I think is important that people understand that is assault. That is assault. It's actually a chargeable crime.
That is rape, for sure.
That is rape, right? Because you consented to one thing and another thing happened. That is rape. And that's a different, and it puts you at a different level of vulnerability and exposure. But that said, I think that part of the intention of this is to show the many ways people can be violated sexually, personally, that don't all look like I pinned you down and
knocked you in the head in the alleyway or something like that.
Exactly, right? So, like, even if you are somebody who has random casual hookups like Kwame, who then was kind of getting shamed at the police station
with
his lifestyle, you can still be assaulted. You can still be assaulted even by somebody that you just had consensual sex with. If you consented to sex with a condom, they take it off, that's assault. If you lied about the circumstances under which somebody agreed to have sex with you, that's a form of assault. So I think that it's intentional to show, even with Theo, back in the day, she lied about assault. So I think it's intentional to show all the different angles and ways in which assault shows up in people's everyday lives that we don't even think about.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting just to see the trauma or the effect that the trauma one person suffered has on the group as a whole. And how it manifests in every relationship in your life thereafter.
Yes.
What
did you think about the Biagio part when she went to Italy?
Clearly she is not in a state where, like, she's not okay. Clearly, she's not in her right mind after hearing that they're not going forward with the investigation.
Yeah, that was
It feels
crazy.
Like the trauma is happening all over again, even though we've seen her earlier in the episode kind of, we see a realization. So remember when she was first in her first time in the support group where she's like, I just want to know how to keep this from happening to me again, versus the beginning of this episode where she's like, I'm going to run it down for you. This is how it happens. And this is their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
She goes from this like incredibly vulnerable person to very strong at the beginning to like having the wind knocked out of her again at the police station. So then she's like, I got to go back to a normal that feels normal, which for her is laying up with Biagio.
Which I think the other thing is that, and this is not an indictment on Arabella, but like Arabella wasn't healthy to begin with, right? Like,
heavy
recreational
from episode one.
Heavy recreational drug user. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but doing it in spaces that aren't necessarily all where she's not always. And this isn't even about her assault. This is just about in general, like
her lifestyle, how she was moving.
Right, like taking random drugs from the white girls in the bathroom in the club. You don't know them girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, her girls.
And just being irresponsible in general.
I want to be very clear. I am not saying that to say that her being.
No, she didn't deserve it.
That was her fault because she
but
was.
But it makes sense. For
on
her
that
to make.
Night, that's the night she was actually with fucking friends, right? Like, that's the night that actually she should have felt like she was good. But in general, it's like it clearly her coping mechanisms for real life shit were already not in place. So when you throw this at that, that's just gonna compound it, right? Like, she was obviously already a person who was kind of like shirking responsibilities a little bit. Like, I'm fucking off when I'm supposed to be writing my book, and I'm gonna get to this, and I'm gonna do that, and let me just have this drink, snort this line, take this pill, do this, whatever. Mm-hmm. As you know, same with Terry. So then, when you have some real life shit hit, you don't have tools in place.
Yeah, to deal with it.
Nor do your friends.
Yeah.
To be able mm-hmm. to actually help counsel you through it. Because even in talking to her therapist, she wasn't having real conversations with her therapist.
No,
you know
not
I mean?
At all. I have a theory. I said it to Inka on the Twitters. I have a theory that I feel like there's something has gone on between Biagio and Terry. And the reason I say that is because I remember when Terry, the threesome happened and the guys left, and like Biagio was, I think they ran into, they come from the bathroom, I guess. And they kind of saw each other in the hallway and they kind of looked at each other. Nothing, there was no exchange of, you know, words or anything. They kind of looked at each other and it was kind of interesting. And then Terry's just been so adamant about, like, whenever Biagio even would call, she would, like, slam the computer down. And she would, like, not tell her to answer his phone call. And, like it was like she's doing everything. She seems like she's been trying to do everything she could do to try to not get Arabella and Biagio to communicate. I haven't quite figured out what that's from.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Because when would it have happened? Biagio lives in Italy. Like, you know what I mean? They're not in the same. Terry was in Italy with her, and so like when could that have happened, right? I really do believe that Terry doesn't think that Biagio really likes her.
It's good for her.
Yeah, okay. Like literally.
What do you think about him?
Terry didn't like Biagio from the very first handoff, because she was like, "Who is he to regulate?"
Yeah, like what we should have.
You know, like our moves. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about him pulling the gun on her?
I feel like that was extreme as fuck. But maybe it was extreme on purpose because.
But he wasn't dealing with a rational person.
Yeah, he played.
She's about
a
to
crazy...
kick the door down. She's calling her mother all sorts of stuff in Italian. She is off her rocker because she flew to Italy with not enough money for a pizza.
Worry. Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, she.
I don't know. Clearly, gun violence is never. I'm never like, oh, he should have pulled the gun on her. But
right. Yeah, but you walk into your house and this girl sitting there like, oh, I remember you put the key in the pot and like. And she's listening to the song, the little Daft Punk song was over and over again. It's like,
yeah.
And talking about I'll stay as long as you want me to. Yeah. You know,
I don't necessarily feel like this is obviously a reach based on what we know of the characters and the scene itself. But I feel like him coming to the door with a gun was more to show her like, I really mean get the fuck.
Yeah, I'm not getting the fuck. Right? I'm not playing.
Like, yeah, he didn't point it at her.
Right.
Yeah,
and could possibly even because prior to when she got the pizza, you could tell he was kind of making a judgment in his head, like, she can't stay here. I got to get her out of here. And he was almost crying as, like, you know what I mean? He was really upset as he was telling her, like, I could never hate you. So I believe that he does still care about her, but like Inka said, he realizes, like, she's not in her right mind. She's not being rational. And also, like, not for nothing, I didn't even really understand why the police needed him to go to...
Oh, for the DNA thing?
Yeah, because even though he was a consensual partner, there wasn't an overlap in the timeline. She wasn't in Italy when that happened. So I do also understand him being like, bitch, I can't just be going to police stations giving my DNA. Like, I also understand that, right? Like,
I'm a drug dealer, and I'm putting me at risk.
Like I'm actually a drug dealer. I can't just be rolling up in police stations volunteering my shit. So I think that there was just really like, I have to scare her enough so that she knows like this shit is real. But I do also feel like he doesn't know how to deal with her. Like,
I loved how the end, like with just the wave sounds like when she walked into the water. I thought that shit was mad creative.
So scary because the only thing I was thinking was, because I mean, obviously I don't believe she's gonna actually drown because we have four more episodes left. But the main thing I was thinking of is like, oh shit, she's getting her passport wet. That's where my head goes.
That's what I thought. I was like, where are the papers?
Yeah.
I didn't think of
these are the things I think of. I'm not saying it's okay because I'm thinking of that in plot development, but literally I was like, when she does try to go home, her passport's wet.
She's just sopping wet, yeah. Brilliant show. I feel like I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. I feel like it's starting to kind of catch a little more traction because of people kind of talking about it and, you know, in the kind of critical acclaim department. So I feel like by the time the series gets to, like, episode, like, 11 and 12, I think it's going to be even a big audience.
People haven't been talking about it?
No. I think people have been talking about it, but I think it's kind of like...
It had a massive launch.
Yeah, but I think it's like kind of like people are like, yo, you watching this? I made this real shit. It's like, it's starting to kind of like, you know, the word of mouth kind of thing. But I love it. I love the show. I think it's fucking awesome.
I love that this show was able to be made because this isn't a typical show. There is not a single episode that's just light.
No.
You know, and even with chewing gum, as disturbing as chewing gum could be, there were episodes that weren't.
It was like very light, goofy kind of.
Yeah, and this kind of reminds me of Euphoria. Euphoria doesn't have as many light moments as this does, but I wonder if the success of Euphoria didn't actually create space for this to happen.
With the same type of intensity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So real quick, let's talk. Did you watch Love and Marriage Huntsville?
You know I did.
What'd you think?
This is
going on.
Yeah. I got his headphones on.
Bro, your bro reading a novel or something over there.
No, I was checking emails. I ain't get a chance to watch it though.
Okay.
You know, with the travel and all that.
This week was the kind of clash of the Tisha and Melody, Hayinka, and and the kind of the breakdown of their relationship. And Tisha, like, being, I don't want to say weirdly, but just being just kind of like a doormat, you know? And you can see.
And that's what she is in her marriage. So why would that extend to her friendships?
You literally took the words out of my mouth. It's interesting because Marceau, her husband, is so obviously adamant on her not being a doormat for the Holtz. And like basically also like, fuck them. Like, you know, we don't need them. Why do you keep trying to go back there and try to be friends with Melody? She keeps treating you like shit. Martel's done this to me. What do we need them for? Not realizing that you've conditioned her to be that way. Well, actually, it conditioned from when she was a child, because I remember she said last season, because she has had a speech impediment, that she was always very shy and docile because she wanted people to like her, and she also
became just hesitant to speak up for herself
because of her speech impediment, which made her hesitant to speak up for herself. And that's why I think her mom, yes, she's a trip, but I also think that's why her mom is the way she is, because she's always protected her from the time she was a kid. Like, she always had to kind of protect her from bullies. And Marceau, instead of trying to help her out of that, he uses it against her to keep her docile. Like, you know, but now it's affecting him.
What even happened between Mel and Tisha? Was it just that their husbands were beefing?
It was the husbands were beefing, and Melody kind of, from what I remember, Melody kind of started to kind of like pull away from Tisha and like kind of not invite her to stuff, and, you know, not invite her to her little speaking events. And Tisha would be like, damn, like, I didn't do nothing to you. Like, and then Tisha kept saying, and the Melody kept saying that Tisha would like go behind her back and talk about her to other people and all that stuff. So it was very catty, and now it's mushroomed into this kind of thing. But go ahead.
That show is a hard watch for me. Like, it's becoming one of those things that, like, I'm not looking forward to it. I don't want to know the tea because it's just getting sadder. Like,
it is.
I like Tisha. I think, you know, she has a good head on her shoulders. She does what she can. She's a great mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's good with business, blah, blah, blah. But I think that she's not going to make it in that relationship without there being some giant break at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel bad for her watching every week.
because he's wild abusive.
Oh, but completely.
He's wild abusive, and he's like one of them double triple talk niggas who will like abuse her and then hit her with some Jedi shit, and she won't even kind of, either she won't realize that she's just been abused, or she'll just eat it to keep the peace.
And just, he took all the wind out of her sails right before she's about to make this great speech that she's so excited about and super
nervous for her alcohol. I seen that. Yeah, you saw that part.
I seen that part.
What'd you think?
I thought it was very on brand.
Yeah.
This is what he does. It was sleight of hand, right? So he comes in and he disarms her with this gesture of goodwill and good faith, right? And the moment that she takes a sip and she begins to let her guard down a little bit, he fucking clocks her upside the head with all of his shit. He is the type of dude that he's a transferable energy guy. Like, if he's mad at anything else that's not operating well in his life or not going his way, she gets the brunt of all of that shit.
Yeah.
Or every last bit of it. When he can't take it out on his business partners, when he can't take it out on other people, she is carrying the water of all of that shit. Yeah. And it was just really sad to watch because I'm like, dude, why would you tweak her right now? Like, this is clearly a moment for her. Like, even if you
also
felt
making
like
the whole thing about him, like,
yes,
women, centered, we lose ourselves in all of our jobs that we have to do. It has nothing to do with you.
And wildly dismissive of something he really doesn't have any knowledge about, right? Like, he doesn't have any knowledge of what it is to have the kids and sort of deal with that part of your life. And, you know, I think I've talked about this before. It is incredibly easy to be lost in that. It is incredibly easy to not be your first name, to only be the parent of, you know, so-and-so's mom or dad or so-and-so's wife. And there is a bit of you that gets lost if you are not conscious about that and making sure that you are making time to function and operate.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And it was just really, it was a shitty thing to do, but that's kind of what he does.
That's him. That's that nigga. Yeah. Yeah. He's like beating her down, like, you know, to the point. It's ugly, man. It's really, like you said,
it was like, I don't really give a fuck what you say in your speech, just don't talk bad about me.
Yeah. Like, it's become, like you said, Inka, like, it's not, it's become a hard watch, you know what I'm saying? Like, because nobody's really happy. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's functional.
And then if you are a little bit functional, they somehow try to drag you into their dysfunction, like they're trying to do with Kimmy.
Right. You know, and, well, there's a bit of dysfunction there, too, because, what's his name, Maurice doesn't want her to work.
Yeah. He's like, you should just do real estate with me. And she's like, I think I've been a nurse for 22 years. I've been a nurse for 22 years. Like, you want me to stop and start selling houses? I don't know nothing about no selling no houses. I know how to take care of your blood pressure, though. And he's basically like, yeah, fuck that. You know, you just got to do this now. So
I think they all just have, like, this antiquated view of masculinity and, like, running the household. And this is who I'm supposed to be and all, you know, versus just, like, listening to the people you're supposed to love and being there for them in the ways that they need you.
It's interesting, like, Maurice and Marceau, obviously brothers. So I don't know if I guess their dad, or maybe, I don't know what their situation was, but somebody taught them the same shit.
Well, we know there were no dads. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, there's no dads. So, yeah, exactly. So I guess their mom.
Dads don't exist in Huntsville, Alabama.
Their uncles or somebody. They're actually from Detroit originally, though. Yeah, the brothers are from Detroit. They came down to Alabama to go to college, and they stayed.
Oh.
Yeah. They went to Alabama and A&M. That's how they all met. But they're from Detroit. But whatever, like I said, somebody's taught them some, like, 1935 shit. Like, it's crazy. Wow.
I'm going to watch next week, though. I mean.
Yeah, we're going to watch. We're going to see it through. Shit, we just far in, you know? One more thing real quick. I could do a whole hour on The Chi, man.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. I just can't, man.
Trav fell asleep
Good for him. He should have.
I was screaming.
It's fucking.
Like,
It's like, they're not even trying no more. They're not even trying. The plot lines are just, it's like stupid, stupid. It's just, this is shit. Like next week they got Emmett and Lala going out to steal Sonny's business. I'm to some, you know, guy with some investor. I'm like, dude.
I didn't even watch the preview for the next episode.
They're going to try to take Sonny's business. I'm like, who would give a business to a 20-year-old high school dropout with no money?
And Lala, who is cooking greens in the house.
In the house. Like, the show was Ronnie with his fucking, did you hear that? I think I heard. Keisha. Did you hear that?
I do think that Candy is doing a great job.
She's doing the best she can.
Yeah, she's ruining the character of, what's his name? Of Duda for me.
Don't ruin
it. I think his mystery and his like perceived quietude and toughness was the character. And now that we're seeing behind the veil and that like she is, you know, his mom is like abusive and she's like, it's just, it makes him weak to me.
One other thing about him.
I feel like the character.
Yeah, one other thing about him, and I move on. So he's supposed to be running for mayor of Chicago, right? Third largest city in the country. This nigga ain't got a campaign manager. He ain't got an office. He ain't got no PR people. He ain't got nothing. How you running for mayor of Chicago, just you and Candy? That's the staff. It's ridiculous,
man. I don't know, man.
So real quick, just coming down to the wire, Joe Biden announced that he's going to Joe Biden said he's going to announce his VP candidate next week. It seems like the last two people is coming down to Kamala and Susan Rice. Anybody got thoughts?
Wait, is Susan Rice real?
Yeah, it's real. It's real. It's definitely real. Anybody got thoughts?
As long as it's a black woman, I don't know about Susan Rice. I like Kamala better. I like Kamala better,
but I'm not optimistic that white people will vote for Joe Biden if he has a black running mate.
Well, I'm confident that black women won't vote for
black
Joe
women,
Biden.
Yeah, black women are going to be furious if he doesn't. I mean, here's the other thing. A stat that I had heard before but forgotten and saw again recently. I want to say a Democrat has not actually won the white vote since like Carter or something crazy like that.
Wow.
So they're not.
They're basically chasing something that they can't get anyway.
Right. It's us. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, they're smart to know that. And just also in where we are, the danger is more in losing the black support that he already has than it is in trying to win over white support that's iffy, right? Because that will make the difference ultimately.
I agree. Just like in South Carolina, everything that's propelled him forward was black people getting behind him, and for him to like get to the finish line, as they say, or the ninth inning, whatever you want to call it, fourth quarter, and be like, "Yeah, thanks a lot, but I'm gonna go get Elizabeth Warren." That's just like a spit, not even a slap. It's like spitting in the face of your supporters.
And also, there's no way. I mean, the uprisings in late May definitely framed everything completely differently. Like he might have been able to get away with that if we weren't in the midst of the biggest, you know, period of social resistance and protest since, you know, almost since like the 60s, really. Mm-hmm. At first it was since 2014, but now I think in the time has been sustained. This is one of the biggest social justice movements the country's ever experienced.
Absolutely.
So if you ignore that, like you're just proving, people are already accusing Biden of being disconnected. You're just affirming that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And I'll be honest. I said myself, I was like, if Biden chooses a white running mate, especially, I don't even know if I in good conscience can vote for him. And I'm a Biden supporter. I'm supporting Biden because I have to. Like, he wasn't my ideal candidate out of the pool, but you know, I'm not dragging myself to the poll to vote for him. You know what
I got
mean?
You. Yeah.
But
yeah.
If he were to have made that choice, I would have been like,
seriously, like really? And it ain't like Kamala, Val Demings, Susan Rice are not like highly qualified people. He ain't picking some lady off the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. Like, it ain't like they ain't got the stats.
My only thought about Susan Rice is that it may feel
to Obama.
Yeah, it may feel too much like pandering to
yeah, like we're gonna be Obama 2.0 kind of thing.
Obama yeah. Redux. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
although I fuck with Susan Rice.
Oh no, she's the shit. Yeah. I think that even if she isn't the VP candidate, I think that she'll have a position in the cabinet. And I think Elizabeth Warren will have a position in the cabinet too.
Agreed.
I want to talk about one last thing. I think Bruff fell off.
Yeah, he said he had a fire to put out.
Oh, okay. I wanted to mention this thing I saw today. I don't think it was a skit. So I don't know if you guys saw it on Twitter, but there was a guy who filmed his girl. I don't know if it was his wife. I think it was his girl. I guess it's her birthday.
That was a setup. You couldn't tell her acting was horrible.
Okay. But even with that, I want to talk about the what it's about. Okay. Not that specifically. So he set up that.
Yeah, I don't know this at all.
Okay, so it's her. It's supposed to be her birthday. He gives her this big package, and there's a package and a package and a package, and it keeps going. And then the last package, she pulls out this manila envelope, and she's like, I hope there's some tickets to go to Dubai. And she rips open the envelope, and it's a DNA test. And the DNA test is saying that their daughter is not, he said that she started to look different. He got to do the DNA test, and the daughter is not his. Mm-hmm. The daughter's supposed to be 3 years old. And so he's like, it's on her birthday. He's like, well, she's like, why would you do this today? And he's like, yo, because you've been lying at me for 3 years and I kind of knew something was wrong. And he's like, yo, y'all got to get up and get out of here by the end of the month. You and Nevaeh, heaven's backwards. And she's like, how could you do this? Turn the camera off. How could you do this to me? So it's actually a skit. But I wanted to talk about that premise of a woman having a child, keeping that secret for, you know, in this case, 3 years, and getting caught. Does the man have the right to throw them out on the street like that?
I mean,
I don't know if the right is the right term, but what would you feel about a guy doing that?
I mean, here's the thing. That's a touchy subject, right?
Because it happens.
Because it does happen, but it's also a touchy subject because the kid is an innocent. And I think there's roles where, you know, the guys in life, like in the case of the woman and the child living with him and then being actually together as a family unit, and he's been a parent every day. He's not been there present in a super active parent role. It's been more of a financial responsibility, right? Yes. So like obviously, you know, your financial responsibilities, if you've been duped, because then there's also the case, like, did she know it wasn't yours? Did she trick you on purpose? Because that happens sometimes too, right? So do I think a man has a financial obligation to support, especially an infant or a young toddler, once he finds out that child is not his? No, if you got intentionally duped. But if you have been in a child's life in an active dad role, day in and day out, at an age where that child is old enough to feel your absence, mm-hmm. if it changes, I don't understand. Like, obviously you got to do what's best for you, but I don't understand how you could just withdraw yourself from a child's life just instantly when that happens. Because it's not necessarily your fault, but like I said, the child isn't innocent. So the child, you know, so maybe at three, maybe that's right about that age where maybe they remember, maybe they don't later, but you're definitely throwing a child into upheaval.
Into trauma.
It's not about the woman. It's about, as we say with a lot of debates about, you know, with care and parental responsibility and child support and all those other things, we think about what the father and the mother are doing to each other, but ultimately, the kid, the child.
What do you think, Inka?
I'm speechless. I think that is incredibly cruel. Like, I know it was a joke, but to get a DNA test and not inform somebody, number one, is trash. To have a baby and deceive the fathers in question is also trash. To put a kid out in a pandemic is trash. Trash all around. Mm-hmm. It's also extremely trash to give me a tiny gift in a giant box and all those boxes in between. It makes me want to fight you. That's happened to me before.
I thought it was cute, but it was a ring.
Inga got some flashbacks. Like
that. It only works if it's jewelry. That's the only way it works. If it's not jewelry, it don't work.
All the trash things that you just said, Inga, were based on the guy.
Yeah. She said deceiving the fathers in question.
My heart is too big. Like, I can't imagine just putting somebody through that and just not having a conversation.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
I felt with Real Housewives of Atlanta when Kurt did a DNA test on him and Rashida's son. I said then.
Other kid at the time.
Yeah, like I said, when I tell you I would have divorced that nigga, I would have divorced that nigga just for that bullshit. Like, how fucking dare you?
Yeah, I don't know how you recover from that. Like, as a spouse, like, you know,
right.
How is Rashida supposed to be like, oh, I know you thought I cheated on you and
especially that we've been raising when you've been cheating on me all the time. And you had a kid,
exactly. But now we good. Like, what?
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I'd be sleeping one eye open for the rest of my life because I feel like that shit would just come up one night when you least expect it.
Yo, remember when you fucking did? Yeah, yeah. They're probably going to. They're going to be
fighting. Yeah, yeah.
Going to pull a fucking knife out, like you said.
I mean, you know, it's easier said than done, but I think in that case, if, you know, there's a real conversation with the adults, you know, early on, then there's a way to kind of figure it out. As long as, you know, because you give somebody an option. But I think it's the line.
Being an adult, man.
Yeah, the line thing. And not saying anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, being an adult. Early.
And also just to be like, she started looking different. That's one of the ways I knew it was set up. Like, everything about the premise in that skit was stupid. But I also, if you guys reread it, there's the popular Reddit chain, Am I the Asshole? There was a situation where this guy... He has a black wife. They have two kids. One of the kids looks exactly like, just is lighter skin and looks very much like him. Mm. The other kid is darker skin and does not look as much like him, but looks just like his wife.
Okay.
And in part because his family's a bunch of racist assholes, he was starting to believe the darker skinned one might not be his child, even though it looks just like, it's not like the baby has some whole third person's features, and was alienating affection from the kid, right? And decided to get a DNA test.
And it was his.
And his wife is like, as soon as the pandemic's over, we out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
understandable.
But also, he said that it took, because he posted an update later. So he posted the question first, which, like, would I be the asshole if I got this DNA test? And everybody was basically like, yes, you would, because that's not how genetics work, you fucking idiot, right? So, like, and he kept saying, but I love my, because I think one's a son, one's a daughter. He kept saying, but I love my son. And people are like, you are literally telling us that there's a part of you that withholds affection from your son because you think it might not be your kid. Like, if you don't think your kid picks up on that, like, obviously your kid picks up on that. So when he gave the update, he said that it actually took the death of George Floyd to make him realize that he was treating his son differently and, like, what that difference in appearance was going to mean for his son in the world and how much love he needed to give his son and how much of a dick he was being. But he had also already done the DNA test. So when he talked to his wife about it, his wife was like, you know what? Fuck this.
Yeah, we out of here.
Like, as soon as it's safe to be out, we out. And I think she actually maybe even, like, went to her parents' house and stuff already. So now he was like, now I got to work to get my family back.
Yeah, now I'm fucked up.
Like, nigga, we fucking told you. Yeah, but it's like, I mean, obviously, in the cases where it does turn out that somebody's been deceived, that's a tragedy. But the things that make niggas think a baby might not be theirs are sometimes, to me, like, just amazing and completely, like, irrational, like, just because baby don't look like
and
you.
So insulting, like,
very insulting, very insulting. Like, if we are in, I can understand if we were in a casual relationship and I get pregnant, I think then you're well within your rights to be like, ask if it's yours. If you feel like you need a DNA test, let's take it. Ask me if there's any questions. I get that. If we are in a committed relationship, unless I've been on some bullshit, like unless I've been on some actual bullshit,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like how Keisha Knight Pulliam said that
Ed
think the baby was hers just because they weren't having sex frequently. It only takes months.
Yeah.
Like, that baby looked just like him, by the way. Like, yeah. it only takes once. So unless I've been on some actual bullshit, the way science and genetic works is...
Yeah. The way my shit is set up, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up on that note. God bless all the babies.
God bless all the
babies. And all the little chillings.
You know what?
And Ivy.
Before I come back, I want you to watch P-Valley.
Yeah, oh, I've been hearing great things about this show.
I'm hearing good things.
Great.
Okay. All right. I will get into some P-Valley this week. Yeah, I'll get into some P-Valley this week.
I think our voices must put her to sleep.
Yeah, she's bored with the show.
Or is this nap time?
Nah, she's just
tired.
She wore usually herself around 2:30, she gets that
sleep. It's a time to conk out, yeah.
Sometimes I give in and make her stay up all day, and yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we're gonna wrap it up.
Thank you, Ika.
Thank you for having me. Always available.
And we'll holler at y'all later.
We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.